Good morning. I am Alliance Co-Chair Dick Marzano. It is Tuesday, August 4th, 2026, and it is now 9:34. I am calling the Northwest Seaport Alliance Managing Members meeting to order. A quorum is present and gathered in the closed session meeting room awaiting the opening of the public meeting. We will now recess to hold a closed session pursuant to federal maritime regulations and related laws found at 46 USC Section 40306 and 46 CFR Sections 535.608 and 701 parentheses I parentheses 1 and as allowed under the FMC Agreement 201228. This closed session is scheduled to last until 11:30 a.m. and we will reconvene the public session at 12 noon. We are now in recess. Thank you. Good afternoon. I am Dick Marzano, Alliance Co-Chair. It is August 4th, 2026 and 12:05 p.m. I'm calling the managing members back to order. Also present today with me is Alliance Co-Chair Ryan Calkins and Tacoma Port Commissioners Ang and McCarthy and Seattle Port Commissioners Cho, Fellerman, Hasegawa, and Muhammad. Commissioner Wilcox is absent and excused, and Commissioner Keller is, due to technical connection issues, will not be with us this afternoon. So if you could, please join with me with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. This time of the agenda, we'll turn over to the CEO report, so I'll turn that over to you, John.
Okay. Thank you, Co-Chair Marzano. Welcome, public, to the August Northwest Seaport Alliance meeting. I'm going to quickly cover the consent and action agenda and then briefings. First of all, on the consent agenda, we have one item that I wanted to call out, item 8C. This has to do with our Terminal 7 crane removal and disposal project in the Tacoma Harbor. We had some cost overruns there that were driven by the disposal sales tax that wasn't considered in the original bid, and an acceleration settlement agreement associated with that project. All in all, the project went well, and the cranes have been removed. On the action agenda, item 9A, and at the request of the co-chairs, we are bringing forward a request to establish two special committees to be known as the East Waterway Strategy Seattle Harbor Committee and the East Waterway Strategy Tacoma Harbor Committee, which will allow the separate Seattle and Tacoma boards to meet and discuss strategies around terminal assets and utilization. And no decisions will be made at those meetings. Those will come back for managing member further discussion. Item B on the action agenda has been removed. And item C on the action agenda is a first reading of a Con Global Industries lease. This is a renewal of an existing customer in the Seattle Harbor. And again, it's a first reading. And then item D on the action agenda has been removed as well. Under briefings, we have a mid-year financial update through June on our financial performance against budget and past years. And then we'll have our general business report. So that concludes the agenda review for today. And with that, I will turn it back to Co-Chair Marzano.
Thank you. This is the time for public comment. I have no one that has signed up, and the clerk is informing no one has written any public comment. Is there anybody in the audience that would like to have any public comment? Seeing no one rushing to the dais to say anything, so that concludes that portion of the agenda. Our work group and committee reports, I know of none right now. So we'll go to the consent agenda. Items on consent are generally considered routine or non-controversial and are voted on collectively. The consent agenda consists of items 8A through 8C as listed in the published agenda. And just so everyone is aware of it, consent agenda A is to approve the July 7th, 2026 minutes. Item B is approved disbursements totaling $35,631,042.29 on checks and electronic payments issued during the periods of June 26, 2026 and July 24, 2026. And as CEO Wolf mentioned, the crane removal with regards to the taxes. So are there any requests for any items to be removed? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. So with that, I'll turn it back to you, CEO Wolf, for the first item on the action.
So the first item on the action agenda is item 9A. And again, this is a request to establish two special committees to be known as the East Waterway Strategy Seattle Harbor Committee and the East Waterway Strategy Tacoma Harbor Committee. And I believe that Co-Chair Calkins has some comments to be made about these committees.
Yes, go ahead.
I'm going to start by making a motion. So I move that the managing members establish two special committees, one to be known as the East Waterway Strategy Seattle Harbor Committee, and one to be known as the East Waterway Strategy Tacoma Harbor Committee, and to adopt the corresponding charters as presented, which set forth the membership and limited purposes of the committee.
Seconded.
Thank you.
Moved and seconded. Comments or questions? I'll turn to you first, Commissioner Ryan.
All right, just for clarification, this proposal is to establish the two special committees limited in term and purpose to study, discuss, and ultimately provide recommendations to the managing members related to currently pending future uses of Alliance licensed property. As the committees develop their recommendations, they should consider the potential impacts and risks to the Alliance as well as to their respective home ports, insofar as those impacts and risks relate to Alliance licensed properties. Staff were charged with providing a framework for setting up these committees, and the proposed charters establish membership, structure, and boundaries for those committees. Dana, is there anything else that you can add here regarding the authority for setting up these committees or anything else?
Sure, Commissioner. The only thing I would add is that these committees are under the NWSA discussion agreement that has been filed and blessed by the Federal Maritime Commission. And as such, especially to the extent that these committees are intended to speak to the impacts on licensed properties and the use of NWSA licensed properties, those committees may meet in closed session per the discussion agreement and 46 USC 4306 and 46 CFR 535.701I and 535.608. So that's the basis for their potential closed session.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments from anybody? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. Thank you. I'll turn it back over to you, I guess, CEO Wolf, for the next item.
Okay, thank you. The next item on the action agenda is item 9C, and this is, again, a first reading of the Kong Global Industries lease. And presenting today, we have Brittany Kigara, our real estate manager. Welcome, Brittany.
Okay. Oh, good afternoon, commissioners. My name is Brittany Kigara, real estate manager here. I'm here to present the first reading of the Kong Global Industries lease at terminals 106 West and 108. The action requested is no final action is requested at this first reading. The follow action request will be made at the September 1st, 2026 meeting. Request the managing members of the Northwest Seaport Alliance authorize the chief executive officer or their delegate to execute a new lease agreement with Kong Global Industries LLC at terminals 106 West and 108. This first slide demonstrates the location of terminals 106 West and 108 in relation to all of North Harbor, represented by the yellow stars. This is a closer look at the leased premises, highlighted in blue and green. As background, Con Global is one of the largest full-service suppliers to the intermodal industry in North America. They provide equipment repair, maintenance, storage, and redistribution of global shipping line to global shipping lines and leasing companies. Con Global is a current tenant. Their current lease that they are on commenced January 1st, 2015. It was for a term of 12 years, and it terminates December 31st, 2026. Con Global has also been a tenant of the port since at least 1990 and has occupied their current premises since at least 2006. This location currently employs 22 people, and they're current with all their rental obligations and has a strong history of timely payments. And this lease will represent an approximate 24% increase in their rent. Some of the key terms is they will be leasing 846,779 square feet of land, inclusive of a 32,000 square foot shop building. For use, they will be receiving and dispatching loaded empty intermodal transportation equipment, storing containers, repairing, leasing, and selling containers of loaded in empty intermodal transportation equipment and industrial equipment. This lease will commence January 1st, 2027. The initial term will be for 1 year with 4 one-year options to extend among mutual approval of the parties. Base rent will be $198,993 per month plus Washington State leasehold tax. Escalation will be based on CPIU. The security deposit will be equal to 3 months base rent plus leasehold tax in the amount of $673,631. Insurance, they will be required to provide $2 million general liability, $1 million auto liability, and proof of property insurance. All the utilities are the lessee's responsibility. They are also responsible for all maintenance. The lessor, the alliance, will have no responsibility to conduct or pay for any repair or maintenance of the premises, and all tenant improvements will be completed at lessee's sole cost and expense, subject to prior review and approval of lessor. There will be no capital expenditures associated with this lease. The initial monthly revenue, again, will be $198,993 per month, with each option to renew increasing by CPIU. If all four options are executed, this lease will have a total value of $10.8 million. There are no environmental impacts, no improvements or maintenance requiring permits or authorizations as this new lease goes forward. And again, no final action is requested at this first reading. The following action request will be made at the September 1st, 2026 meeting. Request the managing members of the Northwest Seaport Alliance authorize the chief executive officer or their delegate to execute a new lease agreement with Con Global Industries LLC at terminals 106 West and 108. Thank you.
Thank you. Comments or questions? Commissioner McCarthy.
Thank you. The term of this lease, 1 year and four additional 1 year terms, is quite a bit shorter than what they had before. What's the thinking behind that?
Well, due to the economy, this lease, it represents a 24% increase. And so due to the economy, the tenant wanted to see if their if their customers can handle the increase in cost. Okay. And so we can come back later to renegotiate.
Okay. And that brings up my second question. I know their current lease started in 2015, and they've been a customer before that. The previous lease, did it have 1 year, every year a change in lease amounts?
Yes, there was a CPI increase.
There was a CPI.
Oh, no, it was, I'm sorry. It was predetermined.
It was?
In the lease.
Okay.
The current lease, yes.
Right. How does that compare to neighboring properties? I mean, I see some old leases and they just didn't keep up with existing values, and others they did.
The current lease, because at the beginning they installed a stormwater system,
I see.
They were given a discount and it was amortized over the life of the lease.
I see.
Yes.
Right. Is the current amount then a kind of fair market value for that type of industry in the area?
The current amount going forward,
yes,
under the new lease, or?
Yes.
No, like I previously mentioned, due to the economy, they wanted to see if their clients can handle the increase, and
right,
then we can come back, which is why it was a one-year term versus a longer term.
I see. But the amount you've initially set it at for the next year, is that fair in terms of the vicinity, or?
When you say next year, do you mean?
This lease for the first year, is that normal fair market value rates for property in that area?
Hi, good afternoon. Erin Light, Senior Real Estate Manager. And to give a little more context, it is in the market range. It's on the lower end of market range.
Okay.
And so we look at a whole bunch of different attributes when we came to that. So, for example, this site is not fully paved. A fully paved site would have a higher market value. And then since they are responsible for 100% of the maintenance, we have no maintenance obligations. That factors into it as well.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Go ahead, Commissioner Ng.
I'd just like to thank you for retaining this customer that is integral to our gateway. I know that it might not be the highest rent, but they have increased the rent by like 24% from the last lease. And so it has been updated, and we do need companies like this to remain in our gateway. So I'd just like to thank the company, and thank you all.
I have just a quick question. Do you see other companies or different companies, if they decided they can't sustain that kind of a rent increase, is there a bigger demand out there? Do you think we could rent that property?
I think ConGlobal is very well suited with the type of operations that they do for this site. I don't know that we would be able to easily just release it.
Unless we put an investment into the property,
correct,
probably like
correct,
you said.
Correct, yes.
Okay.
And Commissioner, if you don't mind me adding a little bit to what Erin and Brittany covered, the Seattle-Tacoma Gateway and Washington State really has the highest vacancy rate industrial land. So we are definitely dealing with challenges of customer coming to us and say, hey, what do we do? Just put things in perspective. The national average is about 9% vacancy, 9 to 10%. And our state, this region is about 11 to 12%. So based on my last reading, so.
Thank you. Seeing no other questions, thank you for the update and look forward to seeing you next month.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, that concludes our action items. So I'll turn it back to you, CEO Wolf, for the next introduction.
Okay, thank
for
you.
For briefings.
So under briefings, we have one briefing for you today, and that's the mid-year financial update. And presenting today is David Morrison, our Chief Financial Officer. Welcome, David.
Thank you, CEO Wolf. Good afternoon, Commissioners. I'm here just to give you a brief update on how the Northwest Seaport Alliance is performing financially through our June actuals. So our revenue has exceeded budget by $5.2 million or 4%. We've really seen a strong volumes in our auto, break bulk, and military cargo, offset unfortunately by lower revenue in our intermodal and cargo container volumes. And I'll get to that a little bit of details on the next slide. So revenues ahead, $5.2 million. Our net income is in line with our expectations, about $54 million. We've had lower expenses associated with our operations for various reasons, which I'll get to on the next slide. but our timing on receiving grants, we were aggressive in budgeting them earlier in the year. We're going to get these grants later in the year, so we're behind by about $16 million in grants. But all in all, our net income is right on budget. In terms of prior year versus current year, our revenue this year is consistent with prior year. You'll see on the graphs in two slides. And that's good news in that, as you know, our revenue from T30 stopped from the tenant at T30 that was there last year. And so we've been able to make up that lost revenue through the normal CPI increases in rent, plus the performance of our non-container businesses. Now, in exchange for that lower rent, so to speak, or the lower income we're experiencing this year, the two home ports have about $37 million more in cash each from the settlement that was made last year. So that was recognized last year. We just don't have it this year. Our net income is lower in 2026 than it was in 2025 by about $10 million. And really what the issue is the timing of our cargo incentives. Our cargo incentives are based on a July through June time frame, and our financials are January through December, so they're offset. The cargo incentive for 2024 through 2025, most of the charges were recognized in 2024, so they didn't have a lot of expenses in 25. Then the next cargo incentive period, 25 to 26, most of the expenses were recognized in 26. So the year 2025, we didn't have a lot of cargo incentives hit that fiscal year. So that's why our expenses are up, so to speak, in 26 compared to 25. Finally, our capital spending, we said that we would spend about $154 million in our capital projects this year. Year to date through June, we are down at less than a quarter, about $26.6 million. There are several major projects that need to be finished this year, most associated with the T5 Phase 2, where we're expecting them to finish by the end of September and start recognizing revenue from that in January of 2027. So we'll see our capital spending, and I'll be back later on this year with with the CIP, the capital improvement plan, and a forecast for our total spending. So this chart is a summary. You get this every month from the accounting team, and I want to give the accounting team credit. They do an excellent job in their monthly report that's provided to you. I really appreciate the efforts of both the Port of Seattle and Port of Tacoma accounting team that put this together, provide all the information. It's really the Port of Tacoma accounting team that puts this together for the Alliance. As you can see, our revenue is higher at $134 million versus $128.8 million. That's driven mainly by, as I said, our non-container businesses. Our auto business is up $1.4 million with $700,000 additional revenue from the cars that are being delivered to T46 for the Canadian market and then are being shipped back out to Canada. So that extra opportunity to use T46 for the Canadian cargo has driven about $700,000 of additional revenue. Our break bulk and military combined are up about $6 million, so just higher cargo volumes than we expected from those two lines of business. And our real estate business is right on target at about $10 million. Unfortunately, based on timing, our intermodal volumes are down, driving out revenue down by about $3 million than what we budgeted. That's distributed both in our domestic intermodal as well as our international. But we still have 6 months to go. But so far, as you can see, revenue is exceeding the budgeted revenue. When you go to the next two bar charts, our expenses are lower. Our expenses are at $87 million versus a budget of $99.5 million. Several various reasons. Due to project timing, our depreciation is less. Our maintenance expenses are lower. You, through the consent agenda, just approved some increases to the crane disposal. That crane disposal was originally intended to occur in 2026. We got that into 2025 actuals, so that's a savings. That's why we're below our operating expenses in by a couple million dollars there in 2026. We also have timing issues with some environmental projects that are driving that reduction in operating expenses. Given all those moving cogs of the wheel, our operating income is at $47 million versus what we budgeted at 33, which is great news. And as I mentioned, our grants are way behind where we forecasted. Most of the grants we expect to come back and hit this year, so it's just a matter of timing. So the last two bar charts in this picture, you can see our budget was $54.1 million, and our actuals are 54. We're spot on. Luck is involved, I would agree, but we're there. I'd like to say it's skill, but you know, sometimes you gotta take credit for luck. That's a summary of how we're doing compared to budget. In terms of comparing to last year, I'll just focus on the first two bars and the last two bars. The actuals are in orange. The prior year is in gray. You can see we're flat, basically at $134 million. I explained why it's flat, that the loss of the T30 revenue has been offset by improvements in our non-container businesses, as well as just normal increases in rent year over year. You go all the way to the right, our net income is at $54 million versus $63.9 million. I gave an explanation that most of the driver there is the cargo incentive timing. So doing great on revenue, hope to continue to do well on net income and exceed net income from what we budgeted when we finish up 2026. This is a chart just to give you and any citizens watching what we produce in terms of cash every year. And this is a chart that I normally provide in the budget study session and adoption session. This is our distributable cash. You can see the trend over time, pretty flat for the first 4 years. And then we've had steady growth. Certainly 2025 stands out as an outlier with the $78.1 million payment for the T30 termination. I will be back with in front of you and the rest, you have the rest of the budget team with me on October 15th, where we have the budget and capital improvement plan budget study session. And then we will have the budget adoption at the November managing member meeting has been moved from the first week in November to October 30th due to scheduling conflicts. So we'll be asking you to vote to approve the five-year capital improvement plan and the operating budget on October 30th. With that, I am here for questions.
Well, thank you, David, once again for a great opening discussion. Comments or questions? Commissioner McCarthy.
Could you pull that distributable cash history?
Yes, sir.
When I look at that, I think I try to imagine what's that like with or without T5 improvement, because we started collecting rent on in T5. It was that 22 or 23?
Well, we had phase one in 19 or 20, and then 22, right. 23 was phase two.
So during that phase, we started the biggest investment we've ever made, the $450 million plus in T5. And so this reflects then the additional revenue from that, and it doesn't reflect the what we've spent for the capital improvement and continue to spend to make that additional revenue. So what I'm trying to visualize is what this chart might look like without that investment made. Maybe the best way to ask my question is, do we know what the T5 return on investment since we spent that big sum of money and continue to do so?
Was we presented back when we approved the investment in T5. It was a North Harbor strategy. It wasn't just the capital investment in T5. It was the changes to the lease at T46 when that customer left, and we moved to T18 during the construction of T5. Short story is we assumed around a 4.5% to 5% return on that overall investment. I do not think that will have changed. Certainly over the last couple of years, while that investment continues, we're not producing significant return like you would on a stock market when it's gone up, but that's a long-term investment.
Because I know when we entered the agreement, we talked about expectation of 8.4%, and then our last meeting we spent, the $9.5 million for the the new pier at the recreation site.
Jack Block Park investment, never, yes.
I always get confused between Jack Park Block and Jack Hyde. But, I mean, so is that expenditure and other expenditures still being put in the T5 box so we have an understanding of what our return on that T5 project is?
So if we were to go back and do the analysis showing the whole North Harbor, right. We would... That would the Jack Block Park, for example, investment was not contemplated in that. But neither was, for example, the revenue from autos at T46 or the lease to the Coast Guard. So as time marches on, different things impact our financial return. So it was not included. Where you would see things like the investment in Jack Block Park is in the P&L where we get to net income. And as we've done in the past, we've understood that we would expect and have seen the home ports depreciation go down. And so your profitability at the home ports go down as your old assets from the depreciation from assets before the formation of the alliance age out and the depreciation goes away. And the depreciation for the new assets added since the formation of the alliance are hitting our profit and loss statement, right? And that lowers our net income, but it's non-cash, so that's why we focus on cash versus income. Does that answer your question, Commissioner?
It does. I always, you know, as a public entity, though, we don't get to take advantage of that depreciation as a private...
We do not have a tax shield from right. The Internal Revenue Service associated right. with our depreciation, right. which
so
I wish
I'm
we did.
I'm not sure if depreciation is... that important as a public.
That's why we show cash.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank
you. And you could ask, we could maybe structure our deals differently such that our partners could take advantage of that depreciation from a tax perspective.
Thank you.
Any other questions, Commissioner Ng?
I had a question about revenue because I do think, you know, it's when you present is a certain time frame and luck. But I've also presented on financials, and I used to love to do it as a young person. So when I take a look at this revenue and what it's relied upon in terms of the budget, it relied on the military, you know, as a top strategic military port in Tacoma. As global tensions increase, that is not us, that although we are the service. The autos, I think, was an underestimation of how much they would come back this year. And that's $6 million, you said. And then $700,000.
No, autos was $1.4 million. Okay,
I mean, like together with the military. I thought you mentioned.
Break bulk and military. So excluding autos was $6 million. Those
okay.
two, break bulk and military.
And $700,000 from T46, and then environmental projects that were not.
It's just a timing difference.
The timing, and yep. I guess if the timing was there, and it was as you had budgeted for these particular things, where would we really be in terms of this revenue? Because, you know, we're about a 14% decline on imports. So how did that really affect us without, I guess, the luck of timing on the environmental expenses that we would have done, or I guess the increase of military cargo and our autos, basically our break bulk business in Tacoma? What would really have been the impact on our revenue?
Okay, so a couple.
In other words, please quantify our luck.
lucky me. I'm going to think about this for a second. As you know, and we present in the budget, we're about a 75% fixed revenue, and 25% variable. Most of that variable revenue is low margin, so it has high costs associated with it. So yes, the break bulk and military have added revenue, but they're not the huge margins that we get from our leases for containers. So there, I'd have to go back and do an analysis that says of the incremental volumes, how much was our expenses associated with it, and what would that produce in terms of income? Okay. In terms of volume, you are correct that our overall total containers is down from 24, but our intermodal is down from 25, but about flat is my memory from 2024. And that's, again, variable revenue. So we are, in a way, blessed that we're not completely tied to volume for our revenue.
So this is, I'm going to interpret, like, in my perspective. So we are fortunate that we do have these long-term leases. Mm-hmm. But also, it also tells me about likely our financial reliance on MEGs to sustain us if we don't meet any volumes. If it's not if volumes vary, we are reliant sometimes on people paying when they don't meet the MEGs.
Most of the MEGs where people pay are for intermodal volumes. So you're right. We treat the intermodal volume revenue associated with intermodal minimum annual guarantees is treated as fixed. There are, and I'm not going to get by terminal. I'm happy to provide that offline because I don't want to talk about our individual's terminal.
Your presentation about revenue and what you're saying influences me as a policymaker when we review these contracts again and the negotiations with regards to MEGs, whether they're there or not or how high, that has an influence on me and how it'll really affect our revenue and bottom and some of our.
I agree.
So that's where I'm going with this.
And some of our container terminals and their associated intermodal yards have been under their intermodal minimum annual guarantee for years and continue to be, and we collect the minimum payment. Others far exceed it, and we get the variable revenue. So you have to go container terminal by container terminal, and I'm happy to do that with you if you'd like, commissioners, but you have to go back and forth. It's specific to each terminal.
Any other questions or comments? Well, David, thanks again.
Appreciate your time. Thank you.
All right. Okay, general business. CEO Wolf.
So don't.
We followed your clap.
Well, I don't think anybody is as dynamic as our David. So.
We've never gotten an applause.
I know. Let's hope for one.
Yeah.
We'll see how much applause you get.
I know.
Well,
yeah.
Commissioners, I'm sure all of you have been tracking Journal of Commerce and the wonderful press release we have had about the huge investment WT and HMM is making in our gateway. It's such a significant vote of confidence in our gateway. None of us take it lightly because it's a huge boost for our future potential cargo flow. And that the investment in two cranes alone, along with some yard equipment, amounts to more than $50 million, plus some other investment they planned. Amounts to $130 million or more in our gateway. So that's huge. So whenever you see a WT staff or HMM, please help us thank them. I also wanted to thank co-chair Marzano and Commissioner Philemon for chairing the selection committee for the North Star Awards. I think we had a fun session, don't you? Agree? It was sometimes I wonder if that is like Hollywood when you go through those awards with drum beats and all that. We have some wonderful nominations. We received more than 30 of them, and it is great to see so many stakeholders, supply chain stakeholders, and customers are interested in being one of the recipients. So thank you for taking time to chair that committee. Lastly, I just want to make a mention that some of you may have heard that our partner, Auto Warehousing Company, has secured a multi-year agreement, three-year agreement with Subaru Canada, and with guaranteed volume through our gateway for the next 3 years. So great news for our gateway and adding another brand. I'm hoping that will continue on indefinitely. We'll see. Lastly, I think I made a mention maybe previously that we're our RFI on T30 will be coming through in the next couple of weeks. I hope to update you when we have the results back by August 20th. So.
Excellent. Thanks, Tong. A few other things. The Gateway is performing at a very high level operationally, but I want to talk about a couple outliers, a couple exciting things. We've seen two MSC vessels diverted from California up to Seattle in the last 4 weeks, and our labor partners, SSA, have handled this excellently. I was just on the phone with the SSA team. They are departing up to two trains before the vessel even departs berth. So on those two ships, they were a sub-3-day dwell, and it looks like closer to a 2-day dwell. So it's showing that when traffic comes to our gateway, we can deliver at a very high level, and our labor partners are right alongside us on that. So that was great, and now because of that success, there's two more ships coming in late August with incremental rail volume. So very excited about that, and I've got no doubt that between the BNSF, ILWU, and SSA, they're going to continue to operate at a very high level. Staying on the North Harbor at Terminal 46 this weekend, we're going to have 4,700 Kias discharged. So we saw good activation of that facility during the World Cup, and we're going to fill it right back up this weekend. So that's an exciting piece. About half of that will get reloaded for Canadian discharge. The other half is actually going to be trucked down to Tacoma and will be processed here locally and then railed to its final destination. So some good jobs associated with that. We'll report back on what those longshore jobs are next month. There's no Local 19 here today. We met with them earlier. I did want to give them a shout out along with Commissioner Cho. We activated Terminal 46 to really highlight the gateway during the World Cup. We hung flags of the teams that were playing. It was a really a team-building effort between us and labor. Commissioner Cho brought some delegates out. It was a fun way to show off what our gateway has and just that relationship that we have with our labor partners. So Commissioner Cho, thank you for the gentle nudge on getting us going on that, and it was really fun.
I'm glad you thought it was just a gentle nudge. It means I can push harder next time.
You get claps, too. The only other thing I want to highlight, so I said we're performing at a very high level. Our four-week average dwell is 2.7 days. So that's that rail dwell that we're fighting hard for, that discretionary rail business. We are operating at a higher level than anyone else on the West Coast. Our marine terminals are. So it shows that when volume's here, when Tong's team can go win the business, our terminals and labor partners can deliver a great product. That's all I have.
Great. Thank you. Comments or questions? Commissioner Ng.
Well, I'm very happy now that it's announced with WT's investment, $135 million, which has come been a couple of years in the making, or actually more than that. I was recommending, I think you probably are already doing it, that $135 million could go farther with some coordination from us or some advice on terminal, on advancing that terminal. Because sometimes there are things there that cost people more later. But probably you have seen that happen in other terminals and could help. I think just, although I do know that a lot of the terminals in Tacoma are being run by former Northwest Seaport Alliance, but they, like an open door, because I know that it can cost more later on when some things aren't figured out.
Yeah.
If you know what I'm saying, like things, yeah. That $135 million can go a lot farther with some coordination and ask for advice from us on things.
Commissioner,
for efficiency.
That's such a good point, and I wanted to assure you we're on it.
Okay, because I also talked to them.
Our Thais Howard and her team is really on top of that. We have, and with our Deputy CEO, we have stood up a cross-functional team and incorporating all the plans that WT has, because precisely to your point, we don't want to overlook anything. We wanted to work together to make sure that we do things in an efficient and effective manner. So you don't look back 2 years from now and say, ooh.
Yes, because historically that has happened. Right. Like later on, I was like, what about this? And that wasn't addressed. And then it cost them more money. I would like our terminal operators to use the best of their money and that we help them actually pay less but get more.
Yeah, yeah. We're
investment.
On it, Commissioner.
Okay, great.
Any other comments or questions? Seeing none, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
CEO announcements.
Who joined our staff in Washington, D.C. a couple, 2-3 weeks ago. It was really meaningful to have both of you there, and it was warm, it was hot, and yet I think we accomplished a lot. So I know that's a lot to ask of commissioners when you've got many things pulling at you, and taking that time was really important, so thank you both. We have our commercial group is going to be out in Idaho next week promoting our gateway to the export and import community there. So looking forward to that. Steve Belaski's organizing that trip, and good work by Steve and the team to get in front of those valued customers. So again, looking forward to that trip. As you can tell, amidst all the uncertainty globally, there's a lot of good things happening here in our gateway. You heard from Tong and Jeff and our broader team, and just really proud of not only our team, but the other partners in our gateway. When we had this opportunity, it's a great example of what we talk about when we say best-in-class service. When we had this opportunity, when MSC said, hey, we're going to shift some volume, rail volume up your way, the collaborative effort by, you know, the ocean carrier MSC combined with our labor partners, SSA as a terminal operator, BNSF, thanks, Don, yeah, the rail partner. It takes all of us to make that happen. And I think that's part of the special sauce of this gateway is how we come together and work together to achieve great things. So good work by the team. And with that, I'm going to turn it back to our co-chairs.
Thank you. Commissioner's comment, and I'll start to my right. If I see any hand up or no? You're to my right. Okay, Commissioner Calkins. Oh, Commissioner Cho.
No, I just want to echo the sentiments of Jeff and the work that we did to activate Terminal 46 during the World Cup. I got a lot of text messages and calls from people who thought it was a really cool activation and went, not quite viral, but semi-viral on social media with folks posting. And to Jeff's point, having Longshore, having our team work together to get this up. I mean, those guys were willing to come out at like 8 a.m, 9 a.m. to switch out the flags, you know, every couple of days. And I know members of our team came out regularly as well to do the same. And so it was very well received by the community in general, but also really good for us to just, you know, do something together with our longshore partners that was semi-work related, but not. And so next time I think we as commissioners should go out there and just start putting up flags on the containers so that we can do a bit of team building on our own. So I'll put that on our to-do list.
Commissioner Calkins.
I guess I could have made this comment when Jeff was talking about operation stuff, but in my day job, we've been looking at the question of the adoption of smart port technologies in U.S. ports, and it's been really instructive for me to see what's happening around the country and in our own terminals. And a couple of things I'd highlight. There's an effort in the state of California to essentially bring up the adoption of these technologies that they're 5 main container ports across all the terminals in those ports, and an ability to sort of link the information that they are that each of them is collecting. And so it's creating one other element of competitiveness for California ports, and I think a little bit of a clarion call for us that we need to be thinking about our own information management across the various stakeholders in the chain. One example of that was Oakland understanding that while most of the information they were managing was on the import side, that the next step that they could take as a real innovator in this space would be to make it easier on the export side. And that, for us, is a real competitive space because, of course, I think They are, if not the first, only behind us in agricultural exports. Am I misstating that? So, you know, as we think about that, the real value of that balanced import-export cargo that we have and they have, they're trying to think about ways to make their export operations even more efficient, easier for their stakeholders to use. So I think we should examine that. It was under a grant given to the GoBiz office in California, $27 million over the five ports to increase the adoption of these technologies that make them more competitive. It's maybe something we talk to our own state government about, that it's not just Seattle and Tacoma, but as a statewide effort. And then along with that, the recognition that, and Jeff, I know you're on the FLO board, there is a national effort with one particular element of data management across the supply chain, and we've been an active participant in that. And I think at some point, Jeff, it might be useful for you to kind of bring us up to speed on whether that has been useful for us. If, you know, we contribute data, and as a result of that, we get aggregate anonymized data across the industry, how we could use that to improve our own operations. But I came away from this study really struck by how far behind, generally, the United States is relative to our international counterparts in Asia and Europe, and a need to really invest in this, and that from an infrastructure standpoint, we often forget that, you know, the sort of soft, essentially the hardware, the terminal operating systems, the truck appointment systems can make an enormous difference in terms of efficiencies. You don't have to go to automated cranes or you know, the big heavy equipment that, quite honestly, our longshore partners are concerned about. But instead, it's, you know, these kinds of more soft technologies that augment labor. They don't replace labor. They actually create more opportunities for labor to be involved. That's really where it seems you get the biggest bang for your buck. So just want to highlight that.
Thank you. Commissioner Heng.
First of all, I support what Commissioner Calkins said. I like
Thank
it.
Goodness.
And I'm all for it. And second, just some for thought. To use some of the funds that were not approved for the incentive program towards advocacy. That's it.
Commissioner Fillman?
I just want to express my support for all the efforts to make the gateway more efficient and all, and I just want to remind us about how much enthusiasm is occurring in Canada above us and that our work is cut out for us. The amount of national attention being put to Vancouver, the nation's largest port, including fossil fuel products as well as cargo. They're obviously wanting to eat our lunch, and we got to keep our lunchbox to ourselves.
Thank you. Commissioner McCarthy.
three things. First, thoughts and prayers go out to Eastern Washington, to Spokane. Mm-hmm. Just terrible situation. Hope that they all survive. Life can turn on a dime sometimes, and you mm-hmm. can have a house one day, and it's gone by the end of the day. So really think about those folks. I was just in Spokane a couple months ago with a Freight Mobility Strategic Investment Board, wandering around the county and the city, looking at infrastructure, roads, and even some rail sites that they were expanding. Saw all the dry areas, but it's not unlike what you don't see out here in the West as well. Second thing is, speaking of PHMSA, I had the chance a couple weeks ago to be in Wenatchee to attend a PHMSA board meeting. Two thoughts. Visited the Microsoft data center. I learned a lot about data centers. And that whole thing was put together with two ports, Douglas and Chelan County, in conjunction with Microsoft. The Microsoft people, there's a lot of misconceptions about data centers. That is a tremendous opportunity for that community based on everything I learned. They expend very, very little energy. Most of the energy comes from Canada to operate it. The amount of water they use is really minimal. So it tells me that they're not all data centers are the same in all areas. But that is one that I was really impressed with, some of the things it's bringing to the community. The other thing I learned in talking to the commissioners from the Port of Chelan and Douglas County is that in 2019 they formed a partnership after, you know, the Alliance formed their partnership in 2015. And they formed one in 2019, and I actually have a copy of their agreement. It's a functional consolidation of port finances, management, and operations. They took what the Alliance did in 2015, but they really improved upon it with some of the things they did. And I talked to all six commissioners, and they're excited about some of the things that they did, because you had two communities that were different in taxes. One county gets a lot more in taxes for the ports than the other, a lot more active than the other. One has a lot more property than the other. And they've created this agreement within this joint operation agreement that is flexible and has some terms that I think really were outstanding terms. It's something that, moving forward, that we ought to be talking about and considering. Because I think they've refined a joint port operation agreement in a way that it truly is a business partnership, and it seems to be working well for both of them. So I was really impressed with the work they did. So some of our smaller, medium-sized ports in the state, I think we've got a lot to learn from them.
Very good. Commissioner Muhammad?
Thank you for the time. Yeah, I have 2 points that I wanted to make. I wanted to thank Tong and Jeff for the cargo update and the operations update that you provided. I also talked to several longshoremen recently, and they expressed gratitude for the businesses and the job opportunities that have been coming their way. And so I think with all of the economic challenges that are out there today, being able to double down on bringing more businesses here and creating more jobs for working families is important. And so I just wanted to thank your team. And so those claps were real. And then second, I just wanted to thank my colleague, Commissioner Cho, for the work that you did and the staff did around the FIFA World Cup. A lot of folks did enjoy seeing the social media posts. I often got tagged in it and would send them to you, Commissioner Cho. I think that was a great opportunity to show the global connection that we have, and what an exciting time it was for our region to be able to showcase what this region provides and the opportunities that it has, and to just be able to spotlight the important jobs that we have here and that we are a waterfront region and those businesses. And so thank you for your leadership on that. And I know it took a lot of work coordinating with staff doing that. And so I just wanted to say that you deserve a round of applause as well. We're just going to clap for everybody today.
Just very quickly to conclude our meeting, listening to David Morrison go through his report and then to Tong and Jeff, I think it really reflects how we are with our diversity with regards to cargo at an advantage. And when one market goes down a little bit, the other one kind of cups up, picks it up, and that's something that we should always maintain. And I also want to make sure that when we're looking at the bottom line as far as profit and loss and things like this, we don't lose fact of the tens of thousands of families out there that rely on what we do for their families and their jobs and stuff, because that to me is a critical element in why we formed this alliance, is to create more jobs. So with that, and no other business to conclude, it is now 1:02, and we stand adjourned.
Wow.
Well, that's worth clapping.